Georgia. Well, something has. Mr. Stanley Collier was working on his 4x4 pickup truck in the carport alongside his house on North Palm Street. He was underneath this jacked-up truck seeking to remove the differential for repair. And when the last bolt was loose, the rear end, axle and all, came down. It dropped, and with such force that the truck lurched sideways, the jack buckled, the car came down on top of Mr. Collier. Now the truck is resting on a trailer hitch. The tailpipe and everything adjacent are crushing Stanley Collier, his shoulder and his chest. Mr. Collier's son, Robert, working nearby, heard the truck crash to the concrete, and Robert saw his father being crushed beneath. Now, Robert is 19. He's a sophomore at Brunswick Junior College. Now, he's not frail exactly, but in school he is more musician than athlete. And that truck with two toolboxes weighs 6,000 pounds. But son Robert grabbed the fender well nearest his dad and with strength beyond his own was able to lift that 3-ton truck and high enough so that a neighbor who had heard the ruckus was able to drag the senior, Mr. Collier, out from under. Son Bob got him to Wayne Memorial Hospital, where he was treated for a broken collarbone, fractured ribs, smashed nose, multiple contusions of his chest and internal bruises. I got acquainted with Mr. Collier by telephone when I sought to learn of his recovery, and can now confirm that he is alive and he is repairing, and he will be back at work at Collier Oil within a matter of a few weeks. Now then, I've told you how Stanley Collier was rescued when a truck fell on him. But this is the rest of the story. 17 years ago and 2 miles away from where this happened, another citizen of Jessup was doing some farm tractor work when the tractor rolled on him. The overturned tractor was crushing him. The clutch was grinding into his gut. And at that time, also, a rescuer was near enough to get there in time. And that time, also, the rescuer, though comparatively frail, was able to lift the 4,000-pound tractor and free the trapped man. And that time, the rescued man was Mr. Stanley Collier's cousin David. And that time, 17 years ago, the rescuer was Mr. Stanley Collier. Of course, he says he could no more lift that tractor than his son could lift a truck. But each did it when he had to. Doctors call it adrenaline. Stanley calls it God. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice.
All right, we're back.
KPRL.
Having a heated discussion over some of the issues with the bond measure, but let's address a couple of things from the last caller. She asked about financial education, personal finance. That's now become a state law, and I can't remember which year, which academic school year it's supposed to go into effect. I believe it's not going to be until like the 27-28 school year, if I recall. But this was mandated last year. The state mandated that you have an ethnic study class and a personal finance class. Well, the ethnic study class, nobody wanted to take. And there are certain board members who will remain nameless that were pretty upset that we were going to scratch the ethnic studies class because it is a an elective, not a graduation requirement, whereas the personal finance class is a graduation requirement. So
I'm going to address the financial literacy because that was something, as I was involved in Cal CPA over the years, mostly in the Santa Barbara, so Channel Islands section of Cal CPA. And this was at one point in time, I think there were 45,000 members in Cal CPA. And up and down the state, we would have classes and we would go into classrooms and promote financial literacy, and we would get pushback time and again with the curriculum. You know, we only have a certain number of days that we can teach, and we have to teach about all these other things. And I honestly think that there weren't teachers that felt qualified to teach these things. And so we offered as professionals to come in, even if it was once a month or once even one time, to come in and talk about things like how to balance your checkbook instead of just walking up to an ATM and seeing what the balance is and withdrawing that amount, that you could actually balance your checkbook, that you could understand what a lease meant versus a purchase, what an amortization schedule might look like, how to get a loan, how to not get a loan, to actually pay with cash so that you would save up your money before you spent it, to talk about various things that were what we call real life. And finances are a huge part of that, because you and I and listeners, we all know that every day we're impacted by things that have to do with the economy. The economy affects everyone. It's the economy, stupid, right? That was the whole thing with the last couple politicians and elections and everything else that goes on. But what I wanted to say is that now that at least it's a requirement, let's get and promote teachers, give them materials. We had a whole booklet of pamphlets and everything else that helped with that, but it's the foundation, the mathematics, comes down to it, the mathematics of how systems operate, what our current financial system looks like. And when we can say as a country, as the, well, I'll say the Federal Reserve, that's not federal, it's not a reserve, it's a private bank, but how the Federal Reserve operates and what has gone on with our currency over even the 250 years of our country. Constitutionally, we're to have gold and silver, and that you weren't supposed to be coining any other kind of coin. And so I say, let's return to the Constitution. Let's understand what money is. It just is something of value. If I value something and you value something, we can conduct business. It becomes an easy way. Our currency becomes an easy way to be able to trade.
Well, focusing back down on Paso and the local school districts as well, one of the things that the lady had asked what people could do, one of the things that I would really like to see is some sort of investment club or finance club, which doesn't exist. There's a business club at the high school, but, you know, helping people understand the basic concept of compounded interest. Caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I think we need Babette to go back. She was a terrific grant writer. And that's what I like that statement about, why are we paying taxes when we can get grants for these kind of things?
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, I'm all for trying to exploit the lady that I'd introduced her to Mrs. Loftus and bought them both lunch because I do want to have a robust CTE program. And what this lady had been successful in doing is she was a professional grant writer. She was willing to do grant writing for free out of just as a community service. But she had been able to pull in, I want to say it was like $25 million or $30 million in grants to help build buildings for some of the high school or for some of the high schools in Los Angeles. And, you know, she knew this stuff backwards and forwards. It was her primary job. Whereas what we have in Paso, it's an additional duty, as we used to say. You know, it's not their primary function. They've got three or four other things that they're trying to do. So if, you know, we have a community member that's willing to write these things, she's doing it already for pay, and she's willing to give them to Paso. And under the previous administration, she got the hand, which was the big reason I introduced her to Mrs. Loftus. But we should be making sure that we've tapped every possible resource before asking the local taxpayer to invest more money. But I think more important than that is we need to make sure that there is a plan. And I, as a board member, am not confident that there is a plan. And, you know, I would encourage everybody to look beyond the 60 slides that were presented last Tuesday and really look at the resolution and really look at the actual proposed bond measure itself. And the thing that concerns me when you look at the bond, the proposed full text of ballot proposition, at one point where it lists it under the heading school facilities projects to be funded from bond proceeds, you read down and it says projects listed below may be completed at any and all high school sites and facilities. May.
Yeah, that's very different than shall.
Yeah. Now, that really bothered me.
And it's not even may include but not limited to.
Yeah. So when you go back to Measure M, and I got into it with DeBost and the board before, because I still think we're not living up to the promise that was made with Measure M. And in my opinion, when a government entity enters into a bond, it's a contract with the local community. And the mindset and the attitude that I see with the board and with the district staff, and it's probably, you could apply this to the entire state of California and bureaucrats around the country, but it's sort of a game of cat and mouse. And the first time I really laid into the board and DeBost over Measure M was this part where at the end at the ballot question, I've got it, and I know people don't have this at home, but the last line of the Measure M question was, all funds spent on local schools and not for administrator salaries are taken by the state. Well, the administrator salaries, we've paid over $2 million to administrators to execute the bond. Well, we said we weren't going to do that. And when I brought it up at the board meeting, they said, oh, we can do that legally because she's a district employee and not a state employee. I don't care if you can do it legally or not. You said you wouldn't do it. And those are the kind of games that are played. Going with the shall versus will and may, and, shall means you have to do it. And the other issue I had with Measure M is, you know, there was a long list of things that shall be done. And the aquatics complex was not under a shall. So
here's the reality where we are right now is that the state, California state, has its own financial
difficulties.
Sure, we'll call it that.
Challenges.
And opportunities. But in any case, the money's not there. We already have deficits, and there's all of the unfunded liabilities that are at the state level. And folks, I can tell you there's more and more and more coming out. The information that I have from Mountaintop Times, Chris Street, he's the economist for New California State. So we have a weekly meeting with counties across the state, and it is... It's disgusting. It's it's even worse than you might imagine. So given that we are where we are, when you have grants, let's talk about where the money comes from a grant. So when you say, hey, I'd rather this come from a grant than from the taxpayers.
Well, I said local taxpayers.
Okay. Still, it is local taxpayers, one way or another. It's not free money. Even if it's a federal grant, it's still coming from the taxpayers, and it's coming from deficit spending. And our entire country, if it's at $39 trillion of debt, that's exactly what's been happening with households. Our credit card liabilities, our debt to the income ratio, it's higher than it's ever been. And so every governmental entity that I'm aware of is in some kind of financial straits because they've spent more than is coming in.
And
that's insolvency.
On a micro level, that's the same with the school district. And I still, my gut tells me, even though Loftus and the staff will not admit to it, and the other board members will just say how excited they are about, you know, the pretty AI renderings of new gymnasiums and things. The reason I think we're really pushing this bond measure is not necessarily because we need these new things. It's because we cannot do the deferred maintenance as a district without getting more money. When you have declining enrollment, you know, this is their way of coming up with more money. Well, here's the problem with that whole plan. You've got buildings now that you can't maintain, and your solution is to get more buildings, which makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, I'm still pretty bent out of shape over the whole 36th Street debacle, I'll call it. Those buildings, you can go back and you can, unless they've taken those down as well, you can find the facility inspection tool reports on the district webpage. And you can see that discrepancies, which are by state law, by Ed Code, are supposed to be cleared off that discrepancy list every year. You had the same discrepancies on those lists from 2017, pretty much on. They never corrected them. And it took some intrepid parents, you know, kicking and screaming to get basic things fixed for that last year before it was shut down. If we cannot manage our facilities now, the last thing you want to do is expand. And just one other point. Now, when you look at, I brought up at the board meeting the other night, you know, they want to basically move everybody out of the Culinary Arts Center and, you know, move all that stuff over to the high school so they don't have to transport kids from the high school over to the Culinary Arts Center because we don't have enough bus drivers. Well, when you look at, let's see how much was that project. That's like a $27 million. When you look at the breakdown on the slides of the cost of everything, that's like $27 million. That's a lot of bus drivers. I mean, you could, you know, for that much money, you could go and just raise salaries and probably get some bus drivers. I mean,
that was going to be my next suggestion. You know, I think you could, there's always incentives, and at some price, whatever it might be, you can have it be attractive to somebody to spend 2 hours of their day to be a bus driver. You know, would you be a bus driver for $50 an hour?
Yeah, and there's always that price point. You know, that's the beauty of the free market economy. For me to be a bus driver, they would never hire me because I'd be dropping kids off on the side of the road.
We'd be doing math problems on the way. Okay, let's go through our multiplication tables on the way to the Culinary Arts. But I have had people say that was one of the best classes that they took their entire time in high school. Because guess what? Everyone has to eat to live, and you might as well enjoy it, and you might as well you know, experiment with it so that you can have some really good, whether it's recipes or a knack for being able to feed people, and even if it's yourself. So might as well start there. But I'm 100% in favor of building skills. How can you, whether it's life skills or the manual arts, Kenny's shuffling papers. That's not me. The manual arts, the skills that are life skills. And we're talking about the building, the welding, even just being able to fix simple things. I always fix something, or I try to fix it before I go out and get a new one. But that's our society now is,
well,
let me give a practical example. I have a $300 a month car payment. Now, I'm one that I don't want to have a car payment at all. But let's say there's a person that has a $300 a month car payment and it's going to cost them $1,500 to get a repair. And they go, oh my gosh, I can't afford $1,500. I know, I'll just go get a new car with a $500 a month car payment, because then I won't have to get my car repaired for at least 3 years. And that's the kind of mentality we have right now.
Well, there are two texts I got to read, but what I wanted to, we're going to have to do some improvements there. I don't think we have to do $205 million. I would be curious if people would text in or call in. What would you support in terms of a bond measure? Would you support a limited building? I mean, I said multiple times at the meeting on Tuesday night, we're taking them way too big of an apple. You know, I as a taxpayer, am not willing to pay that much. But you could potentially convince me to do a small CTE focused facility. I'm not in favor of swapping out the turf on War Memorial Stadium, because the rumor I've heard is it was improperly installed to begin with and wasn't properly maintained. And that's, you know, the high school, we just approved painting that high school. And I asked the question, when was the last time it was painted? It never, according to them, it's not been repainted since 1981. So again, that's another example of, we're not doing the basic maintenance. Why do we want more buildings? But this is, for those that, you know, don't know the exact numbers, what was presented to the community was basically you're looking at $347 a year's annual payment. It's going to cost probably each person about $11,000 over the life of the bond. All right, back in a minute.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending the week sharply lower, Treasury yields hitting one-year highs, and oil prices spiking, reigniting inflation concerns. West Texas Intermediate crude topping $105 a barrel, up more than 10% this week and up around 57% since the start of the Iranian war. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were lower except for energy, while tech was the worst performer. Chip stocks also sold off, and Cerebras' stock fell 5% after shares of the AI chip developer rose 68% in its Wall Street debut on Thursday. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Chevron. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and NVIDIA. The Dow down 537 points, the NASDAQ lower by 410, S&P 500 down 93. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, well, I apparently upset Darcia so much she's walked out of the booth. Hopefully she'll be back. Now, we're trying to figure out the texting is not working the way it should, but I saw two texts. There was one that says, ask what Darcia thinks about, and then we couldn't look at the rest of it. But the other one basically got into, how we are misusing taxpayers' dollars. And they were talking about the $30 million bike paths. No, Darcia went into Kevin's email. Oop, but she got us back in. Yeah, it says, what does Darcia think of the clerk recorder and the independent party endorsements? That's all yours, Darcia.
All right. So here's what I think. I think that the county clerk recorder has a job where mistakes, zero tolerance on mistakes, essentially. So unfortunately, this county clerk recorder currently, Ms. Kano, has had this happen just about every election. So specifically, there was a grand jury report 2022, I think it was regarding November 2022, where there were some mistakes that happened, including the ballot had an error. It should have been a percent sign or a cent sign, and it was a percent sign, or vice versa. There was candidate statements, and this is really important. So a candidate statement that was omitted, it just so happens to have been the conservative candidate. And then there was another candidate that's the more Democratic Party candidate who got theirs candidate statement in twice in the voter guide. And then there was another candidate that was running for a slow mayor position, I think. And his candidacy statement was completely changed from what he actually wrote in. And they pay money. I mean, it costs a lot of money to the candidates personally and their supporters to be able to have something in the voter guide and to conduct their candidacy. So what happened recently was, and then as most people know, there were issues regarding the precincts, moving the precincts around, making it very inconvenient for people to vote in person on election day, which tends to be the patriots out there, the constitutional patriots out there. So what happened recently, we do have a call, but
go ahead.
what happened recently was with regard to the voter's guide, that it was sent out in the voter in with the endorsements from each of the parties. It was sent out without the American Independent. And so they tried to, and they recognized that they made a mistake. They did say, okay, it was a mistake. They tried to have it go out in social media to have the complete one, and the American Independent Party, to their credit, said, we don't agree with being able to send it out in social media. It needs to be, it's a governmental procedure that it must go out through the U.S. mail. And so they did have to send out just the American Independent Party with U.S. mail.
Go ahead, okay. Caller.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. and girls. Hey, real quick here. We keep on referring to the taxpayers paying for these bonds, but why don't we clarify again who the taxpayers really are? Because I'm gonna speculate here a little bit, but I'm gonna tell you the people that, let's say, are going to the high school right now, I'm willing to bet you the majority of those families that have kids in the high school don't pay any taxes at all.
I would agree with
sales tax. They do pay other consumption gasoline tax.
The bulk of it. We know where it comes from.
It's going to be interesting to see how much goes into rent, and then if you take into consideration, I thought about this the other day. Take into consideration how many are on some sort of government housing program. I don't know if people that are in government housing programs are going to see their rents increase over this. So I would agree with you that the bulk of the burden of this is going to fall on landowners.
You're right. And I'm a property owner, okay? And I don't have any kids in the school either, but, you know, I know I'm paying. But let me just continue on here. At least from what I can glean, that about 40% of the kids that are in our public schools in Paso Robles, those families are on some type of public assistance. They're not paying any taxes. However, they're voting, or they can vote. And it's easy when it's not costing you anything to say, sure, why not?
Yeah, and that's the attitude of board members as well.
Yeah, and I'm actually opposed to this bond measure as forced taxation. So I'm opposed to it. Where we are now in our culture, society, governmental entities with all the fraud, waste, and abuse, I actually oppose the bonds on a principle level at this point where we are, because what has happened, what has transpired with the bond measures in the last, and it's mostly been within the last 10 to 15 years, up and down the state, the school bond measures, first they attacked, you can't increase property taxes unless you have a vote of the people, then, and have it be 66 2/3%. That was the whole Proposition 13. Then they pick away at Proposition 13. Well, for things like school bonds, we can lower it to 55%. And so you have a little eating away at Proposition 13 because all of the governmental agencies need more money to spend more money, and they can't control their spending. So what we have is the bond is a Band-Aid. It's literally a Band-Aid, and it's forced taxation. So in principle, I'm against it.
Well, again, I'll just sum it up in this case. I said this 20, 30 years ago, that we're going to finally get to the time where the have-nots are going to be required to try to support the other have-nots. Because we're soon approaching that area, and when that happens, everything goes kaboom.
Yeah.
I think we're there.
Yep, that's a bad time.
All right. Thank you for calling that out.
Thank you. You too.
And I can actually add some numbers to that, in that the registered voters for when you had your recall, we'll call it a recall, but when you had your special election, and that was 30,700 registered voters. And I think we ran the numbers. It was anywhere from $6,700 to $7,500 per person. Per registered voter. So when you're looking at a household, two registered voters, let's say, that's $13,000-$15,000 per household. And so that $349.
That's just your annual tax rate. And that's the other issue I have is, you know, they're trying to get everybody to see this through rose-colored glasses, all the benefit and none of the cost, but
35 years
when I did my math and I brought
interest.
Yeah, when I brought it up at the board meeting, you know, Loftus and Pulaski are shaking their heads no, but assuming a 35-year bond at a 4.5% interest rate, that $205 million bond is going to have $202,474,047. So it's going to wind up being a $407 million bond that we have to pay. And looking at the populations of Paso Robles and San Miguel, that worked out to, and I pulled those numbers off of the 2020 census, that works out to $11,737 per person over the life of the bond, or $32,558 per household for the life of the bond. And when you look at the census data and also the polling data that was provided by whatever that consulting group was called, DS&C, only 19% of the people polled actually had children in the school district. If you look at the census, it's about 21% is what the census said. And so you're really at a point where, and I've tried to politely stress this to the board, you're really at a point where a population that's on fixed income is which is going to be the, you know, the old gray hairs like me, not you. You don't have any gray hairs, Darsha. But
I have a lot more.
Every Friday afternoon after. But you're going to get to a point where you have a growing population that is not going to be willing to keep taking on more and more tax burden for less and less return in the district.
That's the way communism works.
Well, we're not there yet.
Think of the companies that have left California.
And most people, if they would wake up and stop listening to the, oh, it's for the kids. If, you know, in my opinion, if you really want to help the kids, start enforcing discipline. You know, I sent something to Mrs. Loftus the other day about a pep rally that a school in Hawthorne, unfortunately, it's called the William Jefferson Clinton Elementary School, but it's a school in Hawthorne. It's, 80-90% minority, 80-90% socioeconomically disadvantaged. But that school understands that those CASP tests, that state testing, that's kind of their report card. And their test scores are higher than our best performing elementary school. They're in the 60-70 percentile. And I've always talked about Frank Sparks Elementary out in Atwater. I mean, these are minority schools, socioeconomically disadvantaged, but the staff and the faculty enforce discipline and instill in them a desire to learn. And I'm not convinced that we're doing that in Paso. I really am not. And people can call in and challenge me. You're going to have a small percentage that are. But, I think I tried to bring up at the board meeting, we're going down the same old broken public education model. Let's just build a new building. If we give them a new building, they'll do better. No. Let's rethink the whole model. I would love, maybe somebody can give me their opinion on this, but I would love to see if we're going to do CTE, instead of making Shandon go out and do something and San Miguel go out and do something in Paso and Templeton and Atascadero, why don't we do a North County regional occupational facility like they do in Orange County?
Well, we already have a campus that's the Cuesta campus.
We could do it at campus. County. You got land right there. And, figure out a program where, if you're going to go down that track and you don't want to go to college and you want to go into the trades, well, your freshman and sophomore year, you got to get all your reading, writing, and arithmetic requirements done. And then you'll focus, your last 2 years on the trades. And instead of, one school district having something that another doesn't, you're addressing the entire North County area. And, something like that is a new concept that would probably work and spread load the pain.
Addressing the entire North.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. That idea you're talking about right now is outstanding. However, how do we do it? What can we as the people do to make this happen actively?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to... I've talked to Rebecca Kosnick about it, and I've talked to Jennifer Greninger and Templeton and a couple others. But there needs to be, I think, in this case, a bottom up push. I can tell you the superintendents and the the school district staffs, they're going to be vehemently opposed to it. Why? Because you're breaking up their rice bowl. You know, why do we need all this redundancy, throughout North County? Find a centralized location. There are lots of models around the state even. And this is sort of the issue I have when I try to, get the district to do something. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it.
But what about this, Kenny? Go ahead.
Please finish your sentence. I was just going to say, these people are Teflon. You can't get anything to stick to them.
All right. Well, we'll talk some more about it. Send me a text with your question. Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Back in a sec.
Peak painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
All right, Darsh is crunching numbers on the calculator, so I'm going to go ahead and, since we're running out of time and I still got lots of stuff I wanted to cover. But, you know, going back and looking at what we can do, it's obvious, in my opinion, that the current model is just flat broken and it needs to be repaired.
And corrupt.
Yeah. We as administrators and overseers on the board, we don't manage money very well. Caller, go ahead.
Kenny,
how are you,
sir? Why can't you have the deferred maintenance done by some educational classes while you're teaching these kids how to build?
Exactly, the painting.
You know, I proposed that with the 36th Street campus. So, you know, to piggyback off of what I just said, we don't manage our resources very well. So we have an empty campus over on 36th Street. Granted, part of it needs to be torn down, but if you're going to have a CTE vocational program, you know, demolition is part of it. Now there's probably
demo, but I built cabinets my whole life. I build every home I've lived in. I do cement, plumbing, electrical. All this can be taught to those kids. My daughter was serving in Afghanistan, and there were some guys trying to build a porch on their hooch, and they didn't know what to do, and she showed them how to do a layout and started building them for them. All you got to do...
They obviously weren't Marines. We didn't.
There's your math. There's your math. There's your skills.
Exactly.
And these young people want to afford stuff. My daughter bought the same girl. She was going back and forth 6 months at a time to Iraq and Gap and Afghanistan. Bought a house for $150,000, sold it 2.5, 3 years later for $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she came home, I went there, me and her worked on it. And this is where you learn how your investment and all your other stuff and your work. If they grew up doing that, I don't know what... I like the stuff about the 4-H kids and people working out. But it's a way of life. It's not anything hard. You get up... I've been retired 19 years. I still get up at the same time like I'm going to work, and I am. I'm going to work on my ranch. But I'm building right now. Darsha, I sent you some photos of some 8x15 container cabins that are wood-sided, insulated, drywall, finished floors, bed frames, and I built furniture, how to reclaim wood for the one that's mine. And this is all stuff that can be done every day by people, but you got to get off your butt to do it. And we have the places where we can learn and teach these people. I think you'd get a lot of people that have skills that would be willing to teach young people those skills in the right environment to where they understand how to use the tools, they understand how to lay stuff out. A majority of the stuff I build, I don't have no plans. I just go in and build it. I see my brain, I can draw me a picture, and I can look at different stuff and make up those numbers. And they all have that ability to do that.
Right. They just have to be encouraged to.
And I was exactly saying that same thing right during the break. I was saying, you know, there are so many people in our community that have skills that are more than willing to share those skills. And even if it was, you know, once a month to come in and say, hey, here's a project. Here's what we're working on. Here's how you can do this. Once a week. I don't know what it is, but we don't have to pay millions of dollars for a building and equipment. We have people in this community right here. And I believe that the answer is we, the people, as a community, come together. We understand there's a problem. And if anything, it's let's have government get out of the way of being able to educate our children.
Hey, Greg,
you could have some mentorships.
Yeah.
You could have some mentorships at some of these other... I don't care if it's auto. I don't care if it's foods.
We got that. There's some mentors that are coming in. All right, we're going to let you go. I got to get to a couple texts. So thanks.
Thank you. I saw the pictures.
All right. So a text that just came in. What can we, the people, actually do to collectively push the trades/building through? There are empty buildings everywhere. I won't mention that people are leaving our area because of the steep taxes and regulations. Excellent point. And this is something else I've asked about. You know, we do have empty buildings everywhere. We want to have this aerospace program over at the airport. There are empty buildings at the airport. So why do the taxpayers have to build a new building? Why can't we just rent a building or lease a building? Now, the other thing, you had mentioned prevailing wage. I did an estimate the other day. What does Kevin call him? Al?
Yeah,
AI. So I think I searched on. I did my own research and I searched on Grok. But when you look at the extra cost associated with a public school building versus a private school building, it goes from like $300 and something a square foot to like $1,100 a square foot for a public building. And so why not? You know, I would rather. You know, have a business model where the private sector builds it, and then the taxpayers can rent it. And you know, you just know, you know, when you're the private builder, I'm going to build it to meet all the DSA requirements, but I'm not going to pay that premium three times, you know, the amount. And you're going to stretch your tax dollars out. You know, there's some great little models out there, but you know, the problem is the bureaucrats. mindset in this town and really in all of California is this is the way we make the donuts. We're going to do it all the same way, and we're not going to vary. There's nothing bright and shiny and new about what's being proposed in this. And again, we're not good stewards of the taxpayer's dollar, in my opinion. We sold that Whitley Gardens property a year ago. Nice 10 acres. I forgot how big the old school building was, but we got about $300,000 for it. And what do we have at Paso High School? And you could have built an entire CTE program out there mm-hmm. on that campus. It kept animals.
Especially ag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It kept animals. You could put a lot of stuff out there. What they want to do now is basically build a new animal barn at agriculture field improvements there at the high school. You know, you had it. You know, the same with, again, 36th Street. You could do a lot of stuff with 36th Street if you really had an interest in it. And they don't, because their mindset is we want to have everybody concentrated on the campus at the high school because it's convenient for them. And, you know, when I eventually get off this board, you know, some of the things that I would like to see, if you look at, like, Pleasant Valley, you know, little Pleasant Valley school, something's gone on there. They used to have the best academic CASP scores in the county, and it's gone down. But that's an independent school district. You know, you could take Pleasant Valley. It's sitting on 10 acres, and they have declining enrollment, and so I'm sure they're kind of sweating what their future is. Make it a magnet school. Make it a ag tech campus and K-12, and you could probably have...
You would have a waiting list.
Yeah, you'd have like 300 people, and you would attract... You could have, 20 kids per class. You could do a lot if you just broke the mindset of, this is what the teachers union wants us to do, and this is what the bureaucrats want to do, and this is what the consultant class wants to do. Just get rid of all that and come up with a model that works for the community.
You mean we don't have to have study after study after study after study after study and the consultants and then the more consultants?
No.
It's the same thing with the Praga board when, they have a budget out there that's $1.1 million to accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
Just to keep the board meetings going. And I say do one board meeting for $100,000 and call it good for the year. Save $1 million. It's the same thing with almost anything the community.
We're running out of time. So I want to talk
talking
about me. All right, I'm not going to be here next Friday. I'm going to go speak at a Memorial Day event, and so I want to finish on kind of a challenge to everybody. The board passed a resolution to honor Memorial Day on Tuesday, but it was only after I had to ask again.
You know I'm patriotic.
It shouldn't be a surprise that every year we're going to have a Memorial Day, but apparently the district forgot about it, and they added it to the agenda. But one thing I'm still having issues with, and I could use some help with, is the 250th anniversary. So, July 4th, we're going to celebrate the country's 250th. Last July, I asked the district to do a resolution and get a plan together to make it a memorable event and to start instilling in our students a concept of citizenship and patriotism. I was told we would have it by September. September, October, November, December went by, and I had to ask again, and they're like, oh, yeah, we forgot. So we finally got that resolution passed in February, and actually that time all the board members were in favor of it. But they still haven't done anything. There was supposed to be feedback. I've asked principals, I've asked teachers, I've asked families, and there's no indication that any of our schools have done anything to recognize the 250th. And, this is a question that I think people should start asking themselves. Should we as taxpayers bankroll a school district that's not even willing to instill, a love of country? So
I say back to the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. And remember, there's the Republican Party National Prayer Rededication, May 17th. It's a national. We will be live streaming at Atascadero headquarters at 1 o'clock p.m. That is May Sunday, May 17th. We hope to see you there. The potluck will be going from 1 to 4. But it's a rededication of America.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.